not exist without the mercies of God. Everything that we have and everything about us, everything in us is by the Lord. It's by the Lord. He said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want to look at that right there, which is your reasonable service. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I want to start there. Isaiah 53, concerning reasonable service. And what we're fixing to read here, I want to read this chapter. This is Isaiah prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to the scripture, what it says. Now let me tell you something about listening. See, we hear with our ears, but you listen with your heart. If you don't listen with your heart, you don't hear anything. Because the old saying says, what in one ear and what right out the other one. Now, if you don't believe that stuff, if you and your wife or your husband, you get into an argument, and if you're one of them kind of people like me that you won't get the last word in, and they don't respond to that last word, what do you say? Did you hear me? Yes, but I ain't paying you no attention. So listen with your heart. Now we talk about Christians being gospel hardened. And part of that is because we listen with our ears, but we don't hear with our heart. Because when it gets down in our heart, do you know what the Word of God is going to do when it gets down in your heart? It's going to convince you of sins, wrong things in your life. And not only is it going to convict and convince, but it's going to break down. And that's what we need, is to be broken down. Because we're thick-skulled and thick-skinned. Listen to what the Bible says here. Now this is in reference to reasonable service. Our reasonable service to the Lord. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Now he's talking about Jesus coming into the world. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. Listen now. He hath no form nor comeliness. Now we're talking about grace. And I'm talking about, when I'm talking about grace, I'm talking about grace and beauty according to the world. He has no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now listen to what the scripture says. This is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. Could he not have come into the world as the most beautiful man that ever walked? But he didn't. The Bible says right here that when we saw him, we would not even desire him. Said he is, now listen to his life. And I want you to listen. And why did he come? That we might have salvation. That we might be delivered from a devil's hell. That we might be saved by the grace of God. It was God's plan that fallen man could be rescued from a devil's hell. Said he is despised and rejected of men. No one wanted him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We did not want him. And the world still doesn't want him. Still doesn't want him. Surely, now listen, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Listen to that verse again. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. All. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Listen now. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. How many of you sitting in here have been accused of something in your life that you was not guilty of? Not guilty of it. And what's the first thing you done? You went to squawking. I didn't do that. I didn't have no part of it. I didn't do it. But the Bible says this man, this Jesus, did not open his mouth and say a word when he was accused of everything that he could be accused of, and yet he was without sin. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now I want you to listen to the write-up, because that was the write-up of his coming. Not only the write-up of his coming, but that was his obituary of what kind of life he would live and what he would go to before he left this old sinful world. It is for every woman that sits in this room, and every man that's ever been born in this world, every woman, every child that's been born in this world. I think about what John said when he came to the River Jordan. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." All of it. He took it away. He took it away because he loved us all. And we're talking about a reasonable service here. Let's go to the book of John 3:16. Simple little old verse. We listen to what God's Word says about this man Jesus and about our reasonable service. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave," listen to that word right there, "he gave. No one made him do that. No one made Jesus go to the cross. God gave his only begotten Son because he loved the world. He loved man, his own creation. His creation had left him in the garden. They had sinned and gone astray. It was in God's plan to bring man back to him, because he didn't want him to go to a devil's hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me read you some scripture from 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. just a minute. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. You know, hold on just 1 second. Let's go to Psalm 68. Sometimes I get to chasing things too far ahead. 68 and 19 said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." One more time, I said, I like to pick God's word. Blessed. Because I'm going to tell you what happens to us a lot of time. You know, I have a certain time of the day in the morning before I start working. I'll take my Bible and read. But what happens a lot of times, the things that I'm planning on doing will be running through my mind, or something else will be running through my mind. And you know, when I'm reading, I'm really not listening with my heart. I'm seeing words with my eyes, and I'm going on past what God would have me to know. But if you'll sit down and really read God's Word and study God's Word, then that changes the way you look at things and the way you think. And here it said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us." Now, I don't know where you've ever been loaded or not. I've been loaded, and I've had to be an unloader. But when you're loaded, you've got more than what you need. You've got more than what you need. And we're not only loaded with more than what we need, but the Bible says He does it on a daily basis. Now you can sit in here and you can whine and cry, do like me. Said old Lee sitting over yonder in the corner on his back end, he's still barking and growling. He got some bulldog in him somewhere. But you think about what the Scripture says, and you think about your life, and you think about where you're at, and you think about the blessings of God, and you think about what He's given you and where you could be tonight instead of this church house. You think about sitting in a hospital with somebody that you love that's sick, close to death. You think about sitting somewhere at a funeral home with somebody that you love, and they're gone, and your heart's broken because they're gone. But you're here in this church house instead, and you're here because of the mercies of God. And we're going to go back to the book of Romans again, and we're going to read that scripture one more time. What it says right there, that it said, "Ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," reasonable service. What has God done for you that you would think that you don't owe Him back? You owe Him everything about you. Everything about your life. You cannot exist without the Lord Jesus Christ. Cannot exist. Listen now, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, yesterday at work, there was a young preacher had come in there, and I asked him, I said, "Can I help you, Roy?" He said, "No, Lee, I'm trying to find a cool spot." I said, "Well, bless your heart, I hope you do." So he sat down over there, and me and him began to talk, and we were solving the world's problems. But now we were doing it in the right way, because we were solving the world's problems out of the Word of God. Now you can solve the problems of the world out of this Bible, because this Bible has an answer for everything in this world. If the politicians would throw everything else away and set the Bible on their desk, and bow their heads and bow their hearts and begin to pray, and seek the Lord and seek salvation, and use this Bible to guide this country, this country would change from what it is. The Bible says here, says, and we won't talk about things like, you know, "Well, I tell you one thing that's wrong." Well, it ain't just one thing that's wrong. There's a pile of things that's wrong. But right here is one of them in a Christian's life. It said, "Be not conformed to this world. Be not likened to this world. Don't seek the things of this old world, because I'm going to tell you something. If you seek the things of this old world, you're going to find them. The devil's going to make sure that you find them. And once you find those things and stuff, they become baggage and weights sitting on your shoulder and will hinder you from serving the Lord God. So the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, not to be likened to this old world. And this old flesh, let me tell you something, this flesh will never enter into the presence of God. This flesh is sinful by nature. It is sinful by nature. So the Bible says not to be conformed to this world, but what? It said, but be ye transformed, that is changed. Now there's only one thing that's going to change us, and that's the power of God and the will of God. And the only way you're going to have the power of God on you, you're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to seek His will for your life. And you're going to have to live according to His Word. And that's an everyday thing. It's an everyday challenge. It's an everyday struggle. Because this old flesh wants to go against it. Because you've got two natures. If you are saved, you have the old nature. And you have the new nature. The old nature being of the flesh and of this world. The new nature being of God. And the Bible says these two things are contrary one to another, and they're at war with one another, and they struggle with one another. And so you've got a warfare and you've got a battle going on inside of you every day. So when somebody stumbles or falls, don't be too quick to judge and jump on them. You need to consider yourself, because you could be the next one to fall, and I guarantee you, While you on the ground, you will not want somebody to walk over you to stomp on you. The Bible says for us to love one another. To bear one another's burdens. Be ye transformed, be ye changed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to have this old mind renewed. That's a daily thing. Paul said, I keep my body and bring it under subjection. He said, lest it by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Now, when he's talking about subjection, that's being placed in subject to. That means surrendering. So what is Paul saying? Paul said, I beat this old flesh and take you through the whole week. Because this old flesh is going to be there every day that you go. Not only the old flesh is going to be there, but this old wicked world is going to be around you every day. You know, I think a lot of times and stuff, when you see these padres and stuff grouping together in the church and they won't go outside, I can understand why. But you're not going to be a witness inside the church unless the people in the church is lost. Bible said for us to go out and to be a light in a world that's in darkness. The renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen now, that ye may prove, that is to make sure of, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? And we are talking about here the perfect will of God or the service that God would have you to do in this world. Whatever that may be. And we're fixing to look at some things right here as the Bible begins to teach on this. Now listen, Paul said, for I say, now listen, through the grace given unto me. Listen to what Paul said there. He said, the grace given unto me. You don't have anything in this world that has not been given to you by God. There is nothing that you have that has not been given to you by God above. Paul said, I say through the grace given unto me. He's talking about the grace that's been given unto me. Listen now. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly or clearly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Once again, we're talking about what God has given. The Bible says He's given or dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, the Scripture says not to think of yourself more highly than what you ought to think, but to think soberly. Because if I'm going to tell you something, if you will see yourself for what you are, you won't have nowhere near as much trouble with this old flesh. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. If you look at yourself through the Word of God and the way that you live, the way you think. Now listen, because there are certain things that you can hide from others. You can. You can put a mask on. And a lot of times we do. I told a lady at the store where I worked for so many years, I carried out a big cooler of ice for her. I set it in the back of her car, and this is what she said to me. She said, "I tell everybody that I see you the nicest person I know." I said, "Hun, if you could see inside of me, you would back up on that. You would back up on that." I said, "I appreciate your kindness, but believe me, there's a lot of sorriness in this old flesh of mine. Things that I'm ashamed of. Things that run through my mind. Things that I want to say." And I've heard people say this before. Well, I thought about saying it, but I didn't do it. And I'm going to tell you what I go back to in the Scripture. Jesus talked about adultery. And He talked about this. He said, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that if a man looks on a woman and lusteth after her, he's already committed the deed." Be careful what you're thinking. Watch what you say and watch what you're doing. That's the reason that the grace of God is given to us, because He knew we couldn't make it on our own, because we are sinful and failures by nature. That's the reason God's Word said here not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, because you're not up on no ladder. You're not up on no ladder. You can't look up and say, "Oh, look up there. There's old brother so-and-so. I can't hardly see him for the clouds. Look at him. One more step and he's going to bump his head on the moon." If you got somebody like that, then I'm going to tell you something. The props need to be knocked out from under him. Because there's nothing good about us. If you will read God's Word, if you will study God's Word, if you will hear with your ears and listen with your heart, it will put you on your knees and put your head on the ground and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I heard this said one time by a young preacher. I didn't comment to it, but I thought on it. Thought on it a lot. He said, God called this young man that he knew because this young man has such fine talents. Nobody has got no talents that God hadn't given them to do. There's nothing. David said in the book of Psalms, "In sin did my mother conceive me. In sin, when I was still in the womb and I didn't know no different, I was a sinner." Now, here Paul begins to talk about our Christian service. He talks up again about verse 2. He said, "To prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because God has a will for every one of us." Now here the Bible begins to talk, and Paul begins to talk about our body. For he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Paul was saying here, said, look at your earthly body. Said, you've got two arms, you've got two hands, you've got fingers, you've got thumbs, you've got legs, you've got feet, you've got ears, you've got a mouth, you've got eyes, you've got a nose. All these things serve a different purpose, but it's all for the good of the body. It's all for the good of the body. The gifts that God has given, they are for one purpose. They are all for the good of the body of Christ, for the edification, for the building up, and not the tearing down. So if you're in church to tear down, You need to take a closer look and get in this altar. And get in this altar. For we're here to support one another and to build up. And the biggest building up that we can have is out of this precious and holy Word. Now he goes on. He said right here that we have many members in our one body. He said, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. He's comparing the body of Christ with our own natural body. And in this spiritual body, which is the body of Christ, he has given gifts. There's nobody sitting in this church house that's been saved by the grace of God that God hasn't given you a gift of some kind to use in the church for the edification of the body of Christ. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a precious man that vacuums these floors. Do you not think that he loves the Lord? Now for you folks and stuff that push a Hoover around, you think about how much pushing you'd have to do in this church house to vacuum this church. Now you think about it. And you think about how clean the church is when you come in here on Sunday where he's been and cleaned. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only has God given gifts, but we need to be thankful for one another and what each one of us does. Not only that, but pray. The Bible tells us to pray one for another. To pray one for another. People will say this, that the Lord hadn't given me a gift. Listen, if you can get on your knees and pray for somebody in the church house that you love, that is sick and suffering, you know, I'm going to tell you something. God may not ever answer every prayer like we think He ought to. But I've seen people in the church house, and I won't call no names. I've seen them sick and suffering. And I've seen them leave this whole world and go home. Didn't know what the Lord would do. Psalmist David, when he was talking about the baby that Bathsheba bared to him, he sat down when the child started dying. He sat down. Couldn't be comforted. Wouldn't be comforted. Because he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But God took the child. And when David saw the servants talking, knew the child had passed, David got up and cleaned himself up. And they said, what in the world is going on with you? He said, you couldn't be comforted. He said, while the child was here. While the child was here. He said, I thought it might be God's will to let it live. But he said it wasn't, and he took it home. He said, now I can't call that child back to me, but he said, I can go to be where the child is. And we should weep over one another. We should cry over one another. The Bible says, when one member, when one body suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice, because we are part of this same body. The same body in Christ. Not this building. But God's wife. God's precious lamb that He's called to be His. We are part of one another. Bible says, having then gifts differing according, listen now, to the grace that is given. We're back in that same spot again. Having then gifts. First of all, if it's a gift, it ain't yours. Starts off in God's hand and He gives it to you. It's not yours. You didn't have it. But this precious Heavenly Father gives it to His people. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. When Brother Mike asked me, he said, Brother Lee, would you consider teaching? I told him, I said, Brother Mike, pray for me because I cannot teach. I did not say that out of humility. I said that out of truth. Listen to what God's Word says. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, what does it say? On teaching. Before you can teach, before you can serve, you have to be taught. You have to be served from above. Because Jesus spoke in the book of John, he told the disciples that he was the vine and you are the branches. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing. That's what the scripture said. That was Jesus speaking. You know, some people said, you know, I like to read those red verses. That was Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking through this whole book. They just ain't got red ink in everywhere, but I will tell you something about this book. This book is written in love from the front cover to the back. And if you put it down in the color of ink, it would be red. But it wouldn't be ink, it'd be blood. Because the blood is what was shed. The blood is what makes a difference in our lives. The blood is what's going to carry us home. There is nothing in this whole world that's going to take care of us but the Father and the blood and His precious Son and the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. He's a teacher. He's a sealer. What the Bible say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Lord, help me right there. I'm going to tell you how it was when I was growing up. And I had a good Christian mom and daddy. Now, my daddy was a good Christian man. He's quiet, didn't have much to say, but now Mama was the moving agent at home. You didn't question Mama. You didn't call nothing. I'll use this for an example. When I was a small child, back in the day of the G.I. Joe, now, I ain't talking about them little short ones. I'm talking about the full foot long ones. I found out that the Sears and Rareback Christmas catalog could be ordered from any time of the year you wanted to. It didn't have to be through Christmas. Any time. And Mama had bought me a G.I. Joe Jeep. And we was going after it on this particular afternoon back when Sears was on Rome Street in Carroll. Daddy called home, going to have to work over. Couldn't go. What? I mean, you know, I'm talking about 8 years old, 9 years old. I've done got all the education I need. I'm in the second grade. I'm right at the top of the class. What's going on? What you mean we're not going, Mama? Your daddy's got to work. Can't he leave? I got a Jeep waiting on me. Well, no. You hear that word so much, no, I just can't stand it for a little short-lettered word. So I thought, well, I'm leaving this place. I'm not loved, I'm not appreciated, and I'm leaving. And I'm going away. And y'all will die when I'm gone. So I went in my room and wrote a goodbye note. With all the colorful things that would tell you why you're going to suffer while I'm gone. But you know, Mama was in the kitchen cooking. It had done getting late, and it started getting dark. And with this giant brain I got to thinking about the situation. Didn't have nowhere to go. I thought I might ought to let them have a little more peace and love while they had the opportunity. But I wanted them to know how close they came to losing me. So I went into that kitchen and I give Mama the note that I wrote. I thought that would be sufficient. And I turned to walk out of the kitchen to go into the den, and something grabbed me from behind. And all of a sudden, all I could see was dust and smoke. And realized it wasn't coming out of that boiling pot on the stove. Mama let me know how much she appreciated me staying at home and not leaving, like I had intentions on doing. I have this problem with wanting to share with other people. Because see, Mama, I can remember in the third grade, we were doing long division. Something was wrong with that. Now, that didn't work. My answer to anything like that was to bail out while you can. So I told Miss Mary Smith, my teacher, I'm sick. Mama worked in the lunchroom, so I went down there. Mama had some kind of lotion. I don't know if it's still on the market or not. This was a special kind of lotion that would heal anything. Now I'm talking about right up to and including anything you could think of. And she would get some of that in her hands, and she would make about three swipes with it. And then she'd bend over to me and right across my face like that, and she'd tell me, now you get your young tail right back to your classroom. So you see, I was taught this for a fact. Like Brother Randy said the other night when he was teaching, it's hard on him to accept help. Because I was always taught, get on your own two feet and stand up. If you get knocked down, get back up. Get back up. Now here we are, we're talking about giving, and the Bible says, let him that gives, he do it with simplicity. You know what simplicity is? That's innocence. That means you ain't looking for nothing back. And you don't begrudge the giving. See, now, I'm going to just tell you. Now, see, I can't tell you about you. I don't live in your skin. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I know what's wrong with him. You want me to tell you, Lee? I said, no, don't tell me. I said, just keep it to yourself. It'll be a lot better if I don't know. If I get captured, I can't tell nobody nothing. But I struggle in this old flesh with sharing stuff. Now, ain't that silly? But that's what I was talking about a while ago when I said there's no good in us. There's no good in us. You know, you might as well own up to what it is. And I talked to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, please help me. Help me not to be so ill-natured. Help me not to be so angry or so short with people. And that's the reason I told the young lady what I did when she said, I think you're the nicest person. I said, honey, if you could see inside me, you'd change your mind. I said, because right now I'd tell you off by toting this ice out of him. You came after it. I didn't want it. You should have carried it out yourself. But we're talking about the truth here now and the way things are. I know it sounds funny. And I know we laugh about it. But that's the way this old flesh is now. It may not be that way for you in that certain area, but rest assured there's something else in your life that's going to give you trouble. The Bible says here, let him do it with simplicity. Listen, he that ruleth with diligence. Now listen, this is God's word. He that ruleth with diligence. You know what that means? Don't back up. Don't cower down. I have never seen a president, I'm not going into politics now, but I've never seen a president talked about as much as Trump has been. Just because he won't roll over. See, now I done shot you twice, I want you to roll over and die. Ruling with diligence. You know, that's one thing that's wrong and stuff, and we're going back to that one thing again, but that's one thing that's wrong and stuff with the way things are now, and that is people being expected to do what they're supposed to do. You can't just keep making excuses for things. Now, I know people are going to stumble and fall, and you try to help them along. But now, after a while, it's like writing that note to Mama. There's some dust got to start flying. Child abuse is not from the waist to the knee. The good Lord put some extra meat on that rump for a reason. Now, you say what you want to. You look on your body. We was talking about the body a while ago. You look on your body and see if you can find another place that's got any more meat on it. For most of us. He that ruleth with diligence. Listen, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation. Love one another. When you tell somebody you love one another, mean it. Love them. And stop yourself from doing something when you know it's wrong when you tell them you love them. You know, I'm okay. Here we go again about Lee. Had this situation come up, I told this guy, this brother, I said, brother, I love you. Then I get off in this other area and I hear something, not because I'm trying to eavesdrop, but because somebody else is talking too loud. And I hear something, and I'm thinking, I need to go tell somebody else about that. Yeah. And then I'm reminded, now who does reminding? The Holy Ghost does reminding. It ain't been a day that you told this brother you loved him. And now here you are, you're ready to run off and tell something on him, you don't even know it's the truth. Because what it is, people tell things that they think they've heard, and they're not satisfied with telling what they think they might have heard. They've got to add some more to it. I used to tell people at the sewing plant, because the sewing plant was the world's worst. You could start at the back door. A young lady would sew her finger in the sewing machine, but kind of the time the story got to the front of the building, she lost her arm. Said, I saw her toting them out. Carried her out first and then brought the arm out. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Now listen, abhor, hate that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Hate that which is evil. When you see something that's wrong, stay away from it. Get away from it. I think so many times the stuff about Joseph. There when the woman said, listen, you come on over here with me, boy. I like the way you look. And what did he do? He run like a scalded dog and left his coat in her hand. Now that's just what the Bible's saying right here. I'm not trying to be funny about that. That's a serious thing. He loved God and he made a decision for God. He said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil. Hate it. Let it be a bad taste in your mouth. I've known people that had a problem. They love the Lord, but they've had a problem with alcohol. And I prayed to the Lord for them. I say, Lord, let that taste be a bitter thing to them. See, we want to talk about somebody because they have a problem with something like that right there when we need to be praying for them. And I'm not talking about something just to say it. I'm talking about something that's a fact and the truth. Instead of talking about them, pray for them. God, take this bitter thing away from them. Because everything in this old world, let me tell you something about sin. Jesus said the thief, talking about the devil, said he cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, listen to me. That does not sound like a friend. And yet this old world wants to make sin and the devil a friend to them. Even to the point that some people worship Satan. I'm talking about things that a Christian ought just absolutely or just run from. Not because you're weak in a sense that you're running, I'm weak, but because you know this old flesh is weak by nature. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to take one Christian, shove him into a crowd of evildoers and think that he's going to change them. Now, God can change them. Me and you are not going to do it. If you don't believe that, read in the Bible about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angels told him, said, get out, get out, get out. Tell your people to get out. And the Bible says that when he went and talked to his daughter's husband, he seemed as one that mocked. Abhor that which is evil, cleave. Hang on to that which is good. Cleave to it. Cleave to it. We'll read this verse and I'm going to stop here. It said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And I want you to listen to what that, and I love this part in God's Word. I said a while ago, I believe with all my heart that this Bible is written in love from the front to the back. This is what caused God to send His Son into this world, is because He loves us. And listen, we don't understand that love. We do not understand that love. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that we love Him because He first loved us. And we love Him in return. But we don't love Him like He loves us. Because He loves us with a godly love that we cannot comprehend or understand. It's totally different than man's love. We're going to know something about that when we get home. But the Bible says here, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know what that's saying? I'd rather be with God's people than I had to be with anybody. Now that's what the Scripture is saying right there. He said, I'd rather be with God's people than with anybody else. Than with anybody else, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. I thank you for attention and I love you.
Thank you, Brother Lee, for that word. You know, you think about